As most of the folks around St. Peter's know, I am continually raising up what is that the Spirit is alive and working in our lives, and the Spirit is constantly inviting us to look for the new thing in our midst. And my belief is we don't have to look very far because it's right in front of our noses. We simply need to adjust our eyes to focus in on it. So it will come no surprise to you that Pentecost is among my favorite feasts of the church year. It's also one of my favorite feasts because I get to wear this wonderful stole that was made for me by Emily Estes and Nancy Whitcomb from Trinity Church, Hartford. These are individual little quilt pieces for my ordination, so I really relish wearing it on Pentecost Sunday. There are many ideas that give us images of the Holy Spirit. I especially love the image of the fire. However, this year I'm drawn from the readings to look at the image of diversity in creation and how sadly we as human beings often have limits to our own tolerance for the difference that runs counter to the movement of the Spirit, who is constantly doing a new thing within God's diverse and limitless creation. I find myself in conversations with people often beginning with a question like, why does organized religion have any relevance today in our world? Particularly among young people, we'll ask. They say the church seems to be caught up in structures and rules that don't make sense or speak to me. And so then I get into a little bit of a history lesson of the Holy Spirit. And if you look over the 2,000 years, roughly, of church history, you find that just about every 500 years, the Spirit breaks in and does some major, new, powerful thing in the life of the church. However, we also see that after time, we human beings, we tap that new life and energy down because we can't tolerate that much power and that much freedom. So we do what human beings do. We organize it, we make lists, and we create structures to try and control the Spirit's breath. Roughly 500 years ago, the Protestant Reformation challenged practices in the church. And before the Reformation, there were things that lay people did not have immediate access to God. You needed an intermediary like a priest. Talk about job security. The church also sold indulgences to get people out of purgatory to avoid hell. The language of the church remained Latin, although no one spoke Latin any longer. And it was actually illegal to translate the scriptures into other languages than Latin. Salvation was something that we earned by what we did on earth, like a punch card, you know, a toll card to get your way to heaven. We look at these practices today and we say, really? How could anyone have bought into this? But everyone did, and it was used to control the people and the world order. And the Spirit of God had enough of this bad behavior and intervened in powerful ways. Reformers like Martin Luther, himself a Roman Catholic priest, became a powerful instrument of the Holy Spirit to challenge these ideas that kept people from a direct relationship with God. As a result, Protestant churches developed throughout Europe and reshaped Christianity and church history. Salvation now was seen as a gift given to us by a generous God who chose to do so through the life, death, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a freely given gift. Intermediaries like priests are not necessary to control people's salvation. The most recent Spirit intervention began in 1958 with someone named Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli. Does anyone know who that might be? There we go, Pope John the 23rd. That is correct. Now, John was very old when he was elected, and after this long papacy of Pope Pius the 12th, which lasted 1939 to 1958, they elected someone who they thought would be a short and quiet papacy. However, as we know, the Spirit had other ideas going on. The Holy Spirit had enough of the structures that were again making the church stale across the board. So less than 90 years after Vatican I, Pope John called Vatican II. Vatican II was a movement of the Spirit with power that we're still unpacking over 50 years later. The Spirit blew through the church like a fierce wind and breathed new life not only into the Roman Catholic Church, but into most Christian churches, including our own. And one of the most important shifts in the theology was moving away from medieval understanding of who we were and who God was. We were no longer considered primarily a sinful bunch requiring a bloody sacrifice. Rather, Vatican II reclaimed a more ancient idea that the world as is created is good and it is love. It is not fundamentally at its core sinful and bad. That's not to say sin doesn't exist or we are at fault, but fundamentally we are a good, blessed, grace creation. And this may sound like kind of natural, but it's had a huge impact. It's why we have Right to services here at the 10 o'clock service today. And if you don't believe me, just attend a Right One service and count the number of times we reflect on actually how terrible and sinful we are. Even after we confess our sins and receive absolution, we keep repeating the theme throughout that liturgy that we are fundamentally sinful. Vatican II changed all of that. We are now primarily holy and good, and God's plan for creation is unlimited, diverse, and love. We are blessed realities in God's world as God intended it. But the freedom of Vatican II soon came under threat because this opened the door to all kinds of things, like marriage that wasn't necessarily solely for procreation, for women having the right to plan their families, for women clergy, which we have one in our midst this day, for LGBT rights, for the ecumenical movement, for the idea that God is present in all the world's religions. That was too much, and so we've seen tendencies to pull back from Vatican II ever since. Too much freedom of the Spirit when the breath of God blows, and we can only tolerate that freedom for so long, and then we have a knee-jerk reaction and pull back. Our readings today remind us of this powerful reality, of God's intended diversity. In our first reading, we hear the story of the Tower of Babel. And here is a story of human ego at its best. People thinking they could actually reach the heavens and touch God by building a huge edifice that will reach to God. God introduces diversity and forms languages which confuse the people and begin to isolate and divide them from one another. The Pentecost story, in contrast, turns that whole thing upside down. Here, people were listening to the power and the truth of God's Holy Spirit, and that power of that language of love and truth came through regardless of what language they spoke. We heard today, and it's always a challenge for readers to do this passage. We heard that Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all heard that truth and power in their own language, regardless of what they spoke. The power of God's word is turned around to become a uniting factor within a world of difference, of diversity, ending divisions. God's creation is infinite and limitless. Why then is it that we human beings have such a hard time accepting and celebrating that diversity? Why is it that we still harbor feelings of prejudice and suspicion of folks of different cultures, people who don't speak English, people whose worship of God is different from our own, yet nonetheless as beautiful and filled with the grace and love of God. It is because we carry within us a thing that runs counter to the life of the Spirit. We become overtaken by fear. And it takes work to push against that fear, which we may feel when confronted with situations of folks that are different from us. I may feel threatened when I believe my way of life or what I hold dear could be taken away. Our job as followers of God's Holy Spirit is to call upon the power of that Spirit when we feel that tendency to lash out or to say or do something that diminishes God's good creation and other people. Jesus assures us in today's gospel, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Throughout all the Gospels, Jesus is continually telling his followers to not be afraid, but have faith and trust in that unpredictable breath of God's Holy Spirit. And so let us pray not to fear the Spirit's freedom, but to turn to that Holy Spirit when we feel like lashing out or judging or rejecting others who are different than myself. And may God's Holy Spirit help us embrace God's expression as limitless, as good and holy and blessed and loved as God intended it when God created all that is. Please pray with me. O Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth, love, and holiness. Teach us to know and to seek you, by whom and for whom I was created. May your Holy Spirit instill in us a profound respect for the differences in persons and their potential for revealing the true depth and richness of your creation. Fill my heart with a great love. Increase faith, hope, and charity, and bring forth in me the virtues proper to my state of life. Come, Holy Spirit, then, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love.